Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, we can come together this morning. Lord, we just welcome you, Holy Spirit. Just minister to us and give us, Lord, the ability to receive, understand, appropriate everything that you have done for us. Just allow, Lord, our mind and our hearts to be open, Lord, that we may be able to appreciate and appropriate everything that you have done for us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the whole series here is really started from Romans 8:11. This is a fundamental scripture. They should minister to us as we meditate on it and allow it to work in our soul, in our minds, in our emotions, and in our body, that we may receive everything that says in it. So, but it says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. This is, I've been meditating on this scripture for some time because I believe that in it, there is really the secret to receive things from God. And it has to do with our realization of who is in us and to the understanding on how that will work in our life, in our experience. We need to not just hear that scripture at the mind level, but we have to allow to minister to our spirit so that our spirit can respond and can start manifesting that reality that should be in us all the time as we become more aware of it and as we allow it to really be something that we consciously perceive all the time. You know, one of the things that is interesting, and this is about that, is the fact that it talks about that the Spirit gives life to our mortal bodies. That life there, the word life there is the Zoe, which is not the life that we have as we are born. It's the life of God. It's the life that is in God. And there is a corresponding, and this is not completely in the scripture, but in many scriptures talks about the fact that we receive eternal life. Eternal life is a word that always kind of interested me. And I felt that I didn't completely appreciate and understand the meaning and the implication of those words. See, God's life is eternal. It's always, you know, it's always been and always going to be. And if you remember, when this is all over the place, but starting from the very beginning, starting with in Genesis, you see, God says made man from the clay, but man was not alive. And then he breathed breath of life okay, into him. And as he did that, he became a living soul. You know, that was actually God's life that was imparted to men. That was not the life that we have when we are born today. That was the Zoe. There was a completely different level of life. That was, you know, Adam at the beginning had already eternal life. He lost it when he died spiritually because of sinning. But he had eternal life. That means, you know, one of the implications, he was not going to die. God did not plan for Adam to ever die. And really, that doesn't change because God doesn't plan for us to die either. Now, the problem is we start in the wrong place, in the wrong position. You know, we start in dead. All right? So we had to get to the place in which he can give us what he wanted to have us in the first place. He wants us to have eternal life in us. But you know, we had to see an implication right there from the very beginning. The body of clay was dead. He put eternal life in it. And suddenly, that eternal life had effect on the physical body to give life to it, a life that would never die. That would never... See, life is something that science cannot understand. I mean, they say there, you know, they can say when somebody's alive or dead, but they cannot say why. Because from a moment to another, one is alive or dead. The problem is, you know, the real life is not part of this world. See, it's coming from the other side. It's not physical. It's spiritual. Even, you know, the life that is... The life that you were born with today, you know, also that they cannot understand. It's interesting to see that the limitation their thinking of people that are based themselves on the physical world can have. But the impact is that there is so much power in that eternal life that has been given to us that affects everything. Every cell, every atom of our body. And that is contrary to the law of nature. See, one of the law of nature that is goes against 100% life, goes against that, is the second law of thermodynamic. And I don't want to get too much into scientific terminology. And I don't like when preachers talk about science because generally they mess it up. And, you know, they turn off everybody that knows something about science because they say things that are not accurate. So it's better not to say anything than to say something that is wrong, especially when they talk about quantum mechanics, because the thing that they get is from New Age and has nothing to do with quantum mechanics. Anyway, that's his aside, but you know, really, that really, when they, I generally turn them off because they generally say something that they make believe in this after they say it was right. Anyway, the second law of thermodynamics is essentially, to make in simple terms, is everything moves toward death. Everything becomes, the normal tendency of things is chaos. So everything that is organized and is set properly, you know, is going to decay and die. And that's the law of death. This is the law of death that is established in the world. Okay? And life goes against that. What life does is put order instead of chaos. And the order that is there, you know, is if the same life is operating, if life eternal is operating, then it's not going to decay. It cannot decay because that life is the organizing principle that works within us to make things stand and improve all the time. This is God's eternal life that was put there at the beginning. That's why the glorified body doesn't die, and it's even physical. I mean, Jesus could come here and walk in the midst of men, and you can shake his hand and do everything else because, you know, he can live in this dimension. And the eternal life is in him to keep him forever. That's the way it's going to be with our body when we are going to have the full manifestation of the eternal life in us. When there's going to be full transference of the eternal life that we receive through Jesus Christ. See, then you see, this is when the topic that we are talking about is resurrection. See, resurrection life is nothing else than eternal life. It's just applied in a particular situation. You see, there was a big difference between Lazarus being brought back to life and Jesus coming back to life. Because Lazarus was brought back to life, you know, and it was in a body that will die yet. Jesus' life, when Jesus came back, his body would not die anymore. One was resurrected, the one that was brought back to life, so there was a limited manifestation of eternal life in him. So when we are talking about resurrection power, you know, this is what we are looking at. That's what Paul was, you know, aiming to. He said, that I may know the power of resurrection. I mean, he knew the degree, because he was born again, he knew he had God in him, but the manifestation wasn't completely there because he died. Are you following me? You see, that opens up a complete new dimension for us. You see, you had to realize one thing, that eternal life, if you are a believer, then Romans 8:11 applies to you. And the same spirit that was in Jesus and brought him back to life is operating in you today. And he's there not just for the sake of taking a ride. He's there for the ability that he has to manifest, to quicken, or to energize, or to affect all your physical body. And when the time is that the final victory is going to be manifested, death is going to be abolished for us. The death that we go now before is just a temporary state. They shouldn't concern us too much. Because we keep going. And the same spirit is going to carry through and manifest the eternal life that is inside by recreating a body that doesn't die anymore. Because the eternal life is freely operating with every part of your body. But even for us today, when we start understanding some of these things, when we start understanding with already what we already have in us and what already God has provided for us in the interim until there is going to be the full victory at the end. It's already enough to overcome every circumstance, every situation, every sickness, every disease, every sin, everything. Are you following? I mean, as I started to meditate on that, you know, and suddenly, you know, I start to see these things and say, my goodness, you know, there is so much more than we have ever perceived. And it's there already. You know, Jesus said, I am the resurrection in John 11. See, the thing is, did you get Jesus inside you? Well, you got the resurrection spiritually, but to see you in the resurrection all the way. I mean, that has to go through, has to get, you know, transpire, has to move through the spirit to the body. This is what it says there, that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead will quicken or give life, life, you know, eternal life. That life is Zoe, yet, you know, God's life to your mortal body, not to just go to heaven, to your mortal body, so that, you know, you can experience it through the spirit who dwells in you. So it's already in there. The potential is there. But the potential now, when it's manifested, is just a temporary manifestation. So you, if you are sick, get healed. This is what he has provided already. And there is only one way to achieve that. And it's by faith. Somebody's faith. But this is what we can come, should come to experience. See, when you know, the term eternal life, I remember, you know, to me it was kind of abstract up to now. Or something like heavenly stuff or thing. You know, someplace there we have eternal life. No. Eternal life is here and is now and is inside you. And has this, actually has an impact on you, every cell of your body. Every cell of your body. Every organ, every function of you have has to, you know, is impacted by that power that has to be there and has just only to be released. And the only way to release it is through your soul, it to accept the reality or that is there and to believe it. You see, the only block that is there not to receive it is unbelief. There is nothing else. Now, unbelief is the extreme, but even we can see that even doubt blocks it immediately. You know, you remember Peter. Peter said to Jesus, you know, if it's you, just call me and I'll come. And he just went and walked on water. And then he got distracted and he started doubting. He didn't. It's not that he did not believe. He just started doubting, started wavering. You know, just last, it was Thursday night or something. You know, I was listening to a preacher in TV, and he was saying the doubts and unbelief are the same thing. They are not the same thing. Unbelief is the position you take against the word of God. Doubt is a wavering. The word doubt in Greek means waver. So wavering between two things, believing God and not believing God. And that is enough to stop the operation of the life coming out, because it's like, you know, opening and closing the door from your spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, God has found a way for you to even get, at the present time, eternal life inside you. And the way is pretty simple. It's the simplest things you can do. You have to believe in what Jesus did and in his resurrection. And we had to go through the process. See, by faith we receive it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. By grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So this is the fact, that, you know, this is the way you receive. That's the way that allow eternal life to be transferred. You know, when it talks about being saved, the word saved there is sozo, which actually means to made whole. It doesn't talk about spiritual or physical. The whole thing is the same. There is no difference between one thing or the other. We are one being in three different realms of dimension that we operate. We walk in the Spirit all the time, if we realize it or not, because everything that we do has a spiritual impact. We think, and we operate, and we have reaction emotionally, so we operate in the area of the soul, and we do things in the physical. Everything that we do in any of these areas has an effect on the other area. The problem is that our soul won't try, you know, depending on what kind of development we have, try to control. Or our body try to control. When instead, what should control us should be our spirit. And we have to learn to do that, to allow that to happen. Okay. But the idea is that God has made it possible for us to receive that resurrection power, I receive that eternal life inside us simply by an act, a decision we made, and an act in which we believe in what Jesus did, and we allow what he has done to be transferred to us. And he makes us. We are, says in verse 12, 10 of Ephesians chapter 2, says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should be in them. So the idea is this, that he created us. He's the one who made us the way we are. Hallelujah. And he put inside us everything that we need for life and godliness, the way it says in Peter. Everything. See, we find all the limitations that we have because we do not allow the Word of God to work in us and accept what the Word of God says. If we start reading 1 Peter, you know, and read that statement there, says that we can do, you know, we receive all things that we need for life and godliness. We should not doubt that, because when we doubt that, what we do is we cut ourselves from the ability to operate and to allow that eternal life inside us to manifest itself in us. You see, the way for us to actually make that happen is for believing what it says. And he said that we got everything. Praise the Lord. Can we say, I got everything that I need for life and godliness? I mean, do you believe that? Or you believe in your limitations, your shortcomings, your mistakes? You're going to make mistakes. Because it doesn't say that we are perfect. But we are equipped. We are equipped to be able to move toward perfection. If we just believe. You see, the believing component is the starting point for us to start to allow God to actually do the things that he wants to do for us. only believe. Hallelujah. Okay. Praise the Lord. So we have, if we realize it or not, you know, some people have more supernatural experience than others. You know, we are supernaturally equipped in us because the eternal life that is inside us is not as a born-again believer. It's not the life that everybody else has. We have supernatural, we have the life of God inside us to empower us to do anything that God can do.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
But we have to believe it. Yeah. That's the starting point. You see, how can I believe it? You know, it's so difficult sometimes to believe. Let's face it. Because we are so trained to think otherwise. You know, our experience has been so repeated so many times that we have real problems. So, you know, how are we going to do it? God provided the way. See, how do you get there in which you have faith? How faith comes. So what do you need to do? You hear the word, but that doesn't mean just, you know, you go around listening to recording and things. You have to start reading it, being in it, just, you know, meditating on it. Proverbs 4, 20 to 23. Psalm 1, the whole thing. Joshua 1, 8. I mean, whatever you read, you know, there are so many places. You know, it's not that God gave only, you know, one place and you had to find that scripture. I mean, there are scriptures all over the place. Evidently, you see, you do something. It's not that you are there passive. You had to do something to start with. And maybe that doesn't happen instantaneously, and it takes time to counteract everything that you have been exposed up to now. But the power inside us is there, inside you is there, to work and to manifest itself. And it's more than you can ever think, because it's the power of resurrection of Jesus. I mean, that is an indication. That is a demonstration of the point that you can reach. You won't reach it now, but it is going to be the time in which that actually is going to happen. Because it's more than you doing something. There is something that happens on a different level. Are you following me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And the thing, you know, it's so simple. You know, how do you get born again? Romans 10, 8. But it doesn't say the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That's the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. I mean, not just say, well, Jesus is Lord. You know, no, you just, you know, confess there is homologeo, which actually means you say the same thing. I mean, you are in agreement with what you say. You know, your confession doesn't do much most of the time if you don't believe what you say. The only time when your confession is going to work is when you start believing what you say. So you say, well, you know, if I don't believe what I say, then I'm stuck. No, you start saying it until you start believing it.
Amen.
You had to accept the fact that maybe at the beginning you had to say many times before you start to believe it. Just keep saying it until, you see, how do you learn things? By going through those things. So, how do you learn to believe what the Word of God says? Well, by going through the Word of God all the time. Focusing on it. Meditating on it. You see, when you think about something, your spirit, your heart doesn't know the difference between reality and what you're thinking. When you think about some event that took place 20 years ago, and you relive them, you know, and it was maybe a scaring experience or a good experience, your body is going to react exactly the same as it would be there. What does it mean? That you actually are having that experience. That's the way we work. So when you start getting into the Word and you start experiencing those things is like you went through already. And you had to get to do enough of that until it's going to produce a change inside your belief system. Not giving up before. But you see, you had to have a constance, a fixing yourself on something before, not to be deflected by the fact, oh, it didn't work. Well, if it didn't work, you weren't there. But if you were doing the right thing, so that, you know, you were looking at the wrong thing at the moment when you said it didn't work. Because you weren't ready to get the work for it. You just are working it out. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. See, that's the way you work out your salvation. You don't expect, you know, people confuse often faith with presumption. Presumption is something, believing something that you have when you don't. And just because you feel like you agree with it, you think that you have it. That's just mental assent. To move from mental assent to actually having faith for it, you had to experience it. You had to meditate on the Word enough until that thing inside you changes and you start really agreeing, not mentally, but agreeing to the level that is a reality for you now. The very moment when it becomes a reality for you now is going to be manifested. There is no way. There is no other way. Many people operate on mental assent and they think they got it because they've been exposed. You know, the realization that one is on mental assent is pretty, you know, today you can be okay and tomorrow you can have regressed to mental assent. So you have to keep feeding your spirit so that you are at the place in which your faith is operating. Because other circumstances and situations are going to bombard you and you are going to accept them as a reality instead of rejecting them and refusing them to receive them. It's a bit of work, but it's worth it. I mean, if you want to start to walk the faith walk and think it's an easy ride, then don't waste your time. Because it takes courage, it takes strength, it takes determination, it takes perseverance, it takes not giving up and keep going even if everything goes against you. But when you do it, and you got the victory, it's sweet. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Okay. So, the word is near you in your mouth, in your heart. Confess. You know, the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess that Jesus Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in your heart, doesn't say, you know, just believe in your head. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. And that's the resurrection power. That's eternal life inside you. You will be saved. Saved. You know, the word there for save is sozo, which means to made whole, delivered, healed. Not just one part, spirit, soul, and body. And there are going to be degrees in which that's going to be manifested. Hallelujah. says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, the word that salvation there is soteria, which has come from sotero, which actually means deliverance, preservation, safety. I mean, this is the final result. Hallelujah. See, when we are born again, resurrection life starts to operate in us. It's there in our spirit, but it needs to be transferred. It needs to be touching and impacting the body and the soul. Okay? And our soul is the thing that blocks it. Okay? Now, our spirit may be saved, but, we start an experience. It actually is a walk with God in which we can experience salvation on a daily basis, because we are not in a perfect world. We are in a world that's against us. The enemy, the devil, is there roaring around like a lion, trying to see who can take you. The moment you uncover yourself in one place, zoop, he's there with an arrow. Not only that, it will be just that. The point is, you are not perfect either. So the market, you are not perfect, you are creating situation in which the enemy can take advantage. And you don't even know it. So number one, it's better that you get smart enough to know not to uncover yourself. Number two, that you know what to do if you uncover yourself and it zaps you. Okay? And not be surprised if something happened. Just look at the apostles. You look at the disciples. I mean, they got trouble. Paul, don't tell me that Paul didn't have faith. Boy, he had struggled everywhere he went. Why? Because he was there fighting against the enemy and invading his territory. Any little thing that he would create a possibility, and any other person that was there that could be influenced was attacking him. And that was demonic attack. We can expect, if we walk with God, we can expect to be attacked by the enemy. Okay? So don't be surprised if you think that you can walk in just having it easy all the time and say, well, this stuff doesn't work. No. You're going to have to fight. But you got the victory. Okay? You have to know how to fight the battle. You have to understand what is involved. You have to understand, the way these things work so that you are ready. It says there in the scripture that I was mentioning before, be sober and vigilant, for the enemy, the devil is going around, looking for who he can devour. So if you go around, la la, it's going to eat you up. Amen. Well, we are at the time to close. Praise the Lord. One of the things that you have to really come to grasp with and accept is that this true, this eternal life that is available to us, is made available to us in all three aspects of our existence: spiritual, mental, and physical. And you can see that clearly in the scriptures. Okay, well, the same fact that, the way you receive salvation, involve you believing something, involve you saying something. Salvation that is manifested once you are born again. All the parts of you need to be involved. And the more involvement you have, and the more manifestation of all the parts is going to take place. I mean, you can be born again, do nothing, you know, and if you survive and not being taken away by the situation around you, you know, you may just be going to heaven, but not very much. So you need to get the involvement of all the parts of you so that you can receive on all the different aspects. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to see more of that next week. Hallelujah. You get anything today?
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. You know, and the more we meditate on the scripture, the more we get to be able to become effective in dealing with the situations in our life. God wants us to have victory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But it's just not automatic. It's not automatic. We had to take it. Amen? Okay, let's close in prayer. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We just praise you and thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you give us strength and encouragement and the ability, Lord, to overcome all the attacks of the enemy. We just thank you, Lord, that we have all the information we need if we go to the Word. We have all the things that we need if we feed on the Word. Because we need that Word, that feed, the bread of life to give us strength to all the parts of us, spirit, soul, and body, so that we can walk in victory, that we can walk like your children, that we can walk, Lord, overcoming all the attacks of the enemy. And we just praise and thank you, Lord, that we know that this is not something that is impossible for us to do, but we can trust in you to guide us in the things that we have to do, so that we come to that experience that you promised us in your promises, in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you.